This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You better come home, Speedy Gonzales, away from Tannery Row. Stop all of your drinking with that floozy name Flo. Come on home to your adobe and slap some mud on the wall. The roof is leaking like a strainer. There's loads of roaches in the hall. Speedy Gonzales, why don't you come home? Speedy Gonzales, how come you leave me all alone?
Hey, Rosita, I have to go shopping downtown for my mother. She needs some tortillas and chili peppers.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Speedy Gonzales. Now, tell me the truth. Do you think that that record could come out today? I don't think so. I don't believe it would. That was Pat Boone. That was circa 1959, something like that. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and friend, Big Ed Davis. He's a partner, too. We thank you for joining us. It's Monday, March the 8th. We are moving along, are we not, in this month? In a few minutes, Neville Kramer will join us. He is a security consultant. He's a former immigration officer. We're going to talk about the spiraling crisis of our southern border. In fact, even President Biden is now sending officials down there to assess the problem, right? So we'll talk about all of that. In the meantime, Biden has signed another executive order, this one to supposedly increase voter access across the country. Now, when you hear somebody signing an executive order to increase voter access, what exactly can the federal government do? I'll tell you what, a lot of no good. And we're going to talk about that as well with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci. We got a lot of things to talk about with Andrew a little bit later in the show. And is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis destined for the Republican presidential nomination in 3 years? That's a good question. Some people at the Federalist are convinced this guy has already been anointed to become the Republican nominee. So we're going to talk about that, take a look at it. And in our ultimate top 10, this is Car and Driver's top 10 best-selling cars in 2020. We're going to find out if that has any idea what number one is. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works. We are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. In my opinion, it is the best barber shop for men in the Tampa Bay area because of the quality of the cut and the price. It's located in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. 727-733-3773. By the way, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater every Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. You get to hear all about what's going on with the Queen and the woman that is running around with the prince somewhere in California. Now, I never watched that.
Well, they're married. He's not running around.
I know. I don't. Well, you don't know that he's not running around. However, I didn't mean it in that sense. I meant it that they've moved from where? Canada down to California? Are they going to stay in California
now? They moved to Canada because they wouldn't come here until Trump wasn't the president anymore.
Okay.
Then they moved to California.
Did they wait for him to get out of office?
It appears so.
I thought they moved here before then, but anyway, okay. So who cares? That's my two words to the whole thing. Who cares?
Well,
and you should be embarrassed that you know anything about them.
I don't care. I really don't. Good. We've got to worry about COVID and every other thing.
Right, exactly.
And I don't care that she can't get along with her damn in-laws.
That's another thing. Now, look, the Queen is close to 100. By the way, did you know that the Queen's mother lived to be like 100 or 101? Mm. So there are long life genes. Even the father and the mother, the Queen and the Prince are still alive in their high 90s. But it's amazing. Does that mean we're going to have this guy around for a long time, sucking up to the press in the United States with his wife?
No, but William is next in line, not Harry.
And so what's William doing? Is he enough? Is he doing anything?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what they do.
Can you imagine waking up every morning and being weighted hand on in foot?
Well, I mean, Harry and Meghan are not now. I mean, they've been cut off. So
how terrible.
He's having to live off the money, his inheritance from Princess Diana.
Okay, but doesn't she have a princely sum or a queenly sum or whatever?
Maybe he could get a job.
Yes, he should. I wonder if there are any milkman jobs he could
Welcome
have.
To America. Now get a job.
Go over and get a job somewhere. All right. Anyway, so he's running around. We just spent 4 minutes talking about him, and I said that I don't care about him.
There you go.
And I'm going to blame you for that. Anyway, we got a lot of things going on. This COVID package, can you believe the Senate would pass? First of all, in your wildest dreams, did you ever think that there would be a package that was $1.9 trillion. I have never heard of anything being $1.9 trillion in my entire life until this.
When you put so much other stuff in there that has nothing to do with COVID, you know, like the study of paper clips or something like that.
It's absolutely outrageously terrible. I don't know how you can even want to. Nobody, not one of them really understands what's completely in it. And as you said, there is most of it goes for something other than solving this issue right now for the virus.
That's, I think it's 9% goes to COVID-related
terrible.
Stuff. 9%.
An outside group that backs Republican causes is going to go up to is going up in 11 congressional districts controlled by Democrats. They're going to run ads that are going to target these Democrats for voting for that $1.9 trillion COVID relief package. The American Action Network, it is a conservative group, is expanding its campaign to take aim at what they call the Pelosi liberal stimulus. They'll be seen in the House districts for vulnerable Democrats. Vulnerable Democrats, because by the time these vulnerable Democrats are up for election, hopefully everybody will see what a boondoggle a $1.9 trillion package really is. And these ads will point the finger at these people for voting for it. Now, the Senate, in a party line vote, 50-49, that means that there was a Republican that did not vote. In a 50-49 party line vote, 50 Democrats, 49 Republicans, The bill was passed. This is Biden's first legislative initiative, and this will include these payments of $1,400 to most Americans. Now, I know there are people that deserve to be helped. Mm-hmm. I don't think the federal government should be sending any money to anybody. I don't think it's their job. I don't think they have a right to take taxpayer money and start redistributing it in checks to people. I think it's unconstitutional. I wish that they would challenge it. I don't think the Constitution shows in any way that you are allowed to do that.
So this passed without Kamala having to vote.
Apparently you are correct.
Well, that's good because she's too busy tailing Biden around town.
You know, somebody brought that up to me.
I did.
Not just you. We were talking about, yes, you're right.
She's always behind him somewhere.
Because what if he starts to make a complete fool of himself?
Well, you'd have to pick a specific day for that.
That is true. And he hasn't held a press conference.
No.
It's very awkward.
It's almost like the teacher looking over your shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
He walks into the room and she just stands there behind him.
I know. Yeah, it is kind of weird.
And she's always dressed in black.
Now you're turning this into a horror movie.
There's something going on there. I don't know what.
There might be dark
spirits
involved.
Maybe she's the Grim Reaper. I don't know.
That's it.
Following him around, waiting to strike.
If he starts mumbling incomprehensibly, she sneaks up behind him, grabs him by the throat, and drags him off the stage. That's why she's there.
Well, the mumbling is a daily occurrence.
There you go. All right. Enough of this nonsense and his nonsense. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Neville Kramer is going to tell us, what the heck are we going to do with these people pouring in across our southern border?
Here she comes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday, March the 5th already. Wow, we are really moving along, are we not? March the 8th. What am I talking about? March the 8th. We're moving even quicker. And so former President Donald Trump on Friday tore into Joe Biden for what he described as a spiraling tsunami at the border. And this is all going on just as the administration is having this huge spike down there in migrant families and in unaccompanied children. So here's Trump. Our border is now totally out of control thanks to the disastrous leadership of Joe Biden. Well, a lot of people believe that, and among them is Neville Kramer. He is a security consultant, and he's a former immigration enforcement official. He knows what's going on down there. And years ago, he wrote a book called Immigration Chaos, and I'm telling you what, that's what we got now. We have not solved this problem. Neville, I know you've got different solutions, but does this whole thing not start with completing that wall? I mean, the first thing you got to do before you start figuring out how to work with people that want to come across is to have some sort of security, right?
Yes. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
yes.
There you go.
Before we get to something that important, I have to raise a critical issue here.
Yeah.
And I would just want to twist your brain.
It's
saw
already
that
twisted.
Meghan
it's too late.
And Harry thing.
But
I'd like to ask a very important question. From what Harry said, he's been basically thrown out of the UK, and now he's here in the U.S. And when it gets to Meghan petitioning for his green card, because he's going to need one to stay in the United States, what's going to be the name that he puts on the green card?
Oh, I see.
Going to be Harry? Yeah. Is he going to take Markle? Or is he going to be Windsor?
That's
true. Or is he going to be Prince Harry? Yeah, we don't know. Anyway, let's get back to
I'm going to have sleepless nights because you brought this thing up. Oh, for goodness sakes.
As far as the border is concerned, I'm up in age here. I just had a birthday on March the 3rd, and I'm at 70 now. And I have to tell you that I was in immigration at the time of the Mariel boat lift, and this is similar in some ways to what was going on there. Castro emptied emptied the jails and everything else, and shipped all those 127,000 people to the United States.
Right.
And almost every single one of them is is here or they've passed away. And very, very few of them went back. Mm-hmm. What I can tell you about what's going on the border now is these people that are being let in on catch and release for whatever reason, and they closed the camp in Brownsville yesterday, bringing another several thousand people into the U.S., none of them are ever going home.
Yes.
Almost none of them are ever going back. Because what's going to happen is they're going to apply for asylum. They're going to be released into the United States. Within a short period of time, because they can't get a court date, they're going to be given the right to get a work permit. They're going to take the work permit and get a Social Security number. They're going to get a driver's license. And that's the end of it. They're here, they're working, and we're never going to get, never going to send them home. And that's what this is basically all about on a smaller level.
And the Democrats,
on a bigger level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. No, I'm just going to say, and the Democrats know this. They know it.
Oh, absolutely.
So do the Republicans, that we're not going to send them back. It would look horrible. Can you imagine the photo op? Going around looking for people that have started working in this country with children, dragging them onto a bus and driving them down to the border. They couldn't possibly get away with it.
That's right. And they know that. But I want to put my two cents worth into this whole thing, because every time you turn on the television, you're going to see the border. You're going to see these reception centers, now that they want to call them. They're detention centers, but I guess they're reception centers, according to Biden.
They're detention when it's Republicans and reception when it's Democrats.
Yeah. You're going to see the riverboats. You're going to see the wall. You're going to see the sheriffs down there that really don't have anything to do with immigration, but they'll be down there talking about how there's a wave of people and the drugs and everything else. The problem, Paul, and I've said this before to you, it's in the interior of the United States. We have no interior enforcement, and without interior enforcement and some way to prevent these people from coming in and getting jobs in this country, this is all a waste of time of what we're doing on the border. People never see anything on the interior of where these people go, what they're doing, how many of them have. By the way, 185 of the ones out of Brownsville are positive for COVID.
That's another thing that's scary. Yeah.
No, yeah. Right. I mean, well,
so here's the deal.
We're just going to lose this war.
That's what I mean, so there's no answer unless we. I mean, here's the deal. Trump wanted to build a wall. It would slow this whole thing down. You'll never stop everybody. Democrats say, well, actually, more people are coming here and staying on expired visas than are climbing through the fences on the southern border. Now, is that true? Do we have more people here on expired visas that haven't gone home in total than we have in total that have crossed through the southern border, do you think?
Well, yes, I'm going to say it, but with a caveat. Supposedly 60-40, 60% come in using visas. But whenever it comes to any type of statistical data that's fed to us by any of these groups, the Center for Immigration Studies, the FAIR, the Migrant Policy Board, whatever it is, question it, because it's all made up.
Oh.
We don't who knows whether these people are staying, who knows whether they're working. Our systems are not built to track these people. We don't know where they are. We don't know what they're doing. And it's just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. Neville, that's been going on for 50 years.
In fact, I'm going to take us back a little bit. Neville Kramer, we're talking with. He is a security consultant. He goes all over the world and he helps businesses with security issues. Very important these days. Former immigration enforcement official. He's written a book called Immigration Chaos. By the way, is that book still on like Kindle and Amazon and available for people to order if they would like?
Yes, you can go. Yes, they can get it on Kindle version on Amazon, and they can go to my website, which is either immigrationchaos.com or that's good. Immigrationchaos.com. There's a way to order the book. Yeah,
okay.
There's a way to order the book.
Immigrationchaos.com. Okay.
Yeah, you know, read about all my fascinating background there.
You really do. I mean, if we could talk for 20 minutes on your background, mm-hmm. on some of the things you've done. So let's go back a little bit, even maybe before we were around, but there was a time in this country where Mexicans came across and did work on farms and different things, and I apparently would go back across the border to their homes, and there was really, I get the impression, not a lot of really heavy enforcement because there wasn't a desire for a large numbers of people to just come piling across the border to stay. Now, maybe it's because there weren't any benefits. If you came across, you had to work to earn any money. Is that somewhat true?
Yes, that's absolutely true. In fact, when I was in the Border Patrol in 1976, that was the way it was. In fact, the Border Patrol had unwritten guidelines where during certain picking seasons, they wouldn't arrest people coming across the border. They looked the other way because they knew where they were going. And they were going to pick the onions or the strawberries or whatever, and they waited for the rancher or the farmer to call them. And they would call them at the end of the picking season and go out and arrest them and send them home. And it was all sort of a little secret down there on the border. But that's the way it was for many, many years.
Yeah, and you know, the people didn't mind people coming. I mean, citizens of our country, for the most part, they didn't mind that. There was no real issue. So do you think the reason that all of a sudden it has turned into the monster that it has is because these people can get stuff for free when they come over? Is that mainly it?
Part of it. They can get a job. I would say that the vast majority of people that come into the United States illegally are coming here for one reason, and that's to work, to work and get money and send it home.
Okay.
That's the basis. You know, you can add the drugs and you can add the gangs and all the rest of it, and the criminals and all the rest. But I'm talking about 90 to 95% of the people that come into the U.S. illegally come here to get a job and send money back home. That's what it's all about.
Do you think?
And if they can't get a job, Paul, this problem will not cease and desist, but we can eliminate 80-85% of it very quickly.
Okay. And we talked about this before, Neville, that there is a method behind the madness of the Democrats that are allowing the influx of illegal people into our country. They seem to think that in the long run, they will turn out to be voters for Democrats. And this is a way of their building up the Democratic voting base. It's a horrible thing to think of that people would do that to our country. But apparently, there's a belief that that may occur. So there are also factions of Democrats, I would think, that would not be excited about all of these people pouring across the southern border because it might affect their own situation. Some of the other groups, and including, with all due respect, African Americans. I don't know why African Americans would be excited. Wouldn't there be some, you know, especially down in the southern border states, a little bit of a problem with jobs, et cetera, and people wanting them, you know, and all of that? Well, you know,
yes, absolutely.
I mean, so what's going on? I mean, the Democrats are sort of dividing themselves on this issue, are they not?
The only thing I can say in short is that the African Americans in the United States have been tricked into believing that the Hispanic illegals that are coming into the country are okay with them. They're competing for the same jobs. They were doing it in Washington, D.C. when I was there as an agent, and they're doing it all over the country. So they do compete for the same jobs. And right now, I think the African-American community is losing out.
Yeah.
But aside from that, Paul, look at the necessity of the Democrats to gain certain states. And they'll win every single presidential election and congressional election in the coming up. Okay, California, Texas, Arizona, New York, Illinois. Okay, these are all heavily areas that are being almost invaded by illegal immigrants.
Right.
That will eventually become legal, eventually get green cards, and eventually vote. And if you're next, the other person you're going to talk to about voting, I mean, take a look at the number of illegal immigrants that came in, got driver's licenses, registered to vote to get a voter registration card, and then they got absentee ballots sent to them this last election. What happened to the ballots?
Well, no, I agree with
before.
You.
If you get a voter registration card and you get a driver's license, you're going to do two things. You're going to drive with the driver's license. You're going to vote with the voter registration card.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty simple.
Right.
But, you know, and that's what they want. They want to take those states. That's all they need, and they'll control the electorate.
Well, here we go. We got
the electorate in the U.S.
We have, like you said, we have illegal people in this country with voter cards of some sort, IDs, and we have a voting by mail situation, so we don't control, in many ways, we don't control the ballots going out, not knowing who's going to really end up getting the ballots. We have got, I guess you can't put the genie back in the bottle. But if I could put the genie back in the bottle, one of the things I do is send everybody to the poll live on the day of the election when it comes to the presidential situation. Stop with the mail-in voting. I mean, even if it's all legal, almost half the country thinks that the fix is in, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, it's very depressing.
I don't have any objection to absentee ballots. Ballots, you apply for, you get the ballot, you vote.
And military
it's
people.
Mail-in stuff.
Yeah, military people absolutely. And people that are trying to get to the polls but are handicapped. We can come up with things to deal with that. It's everybody else that worries me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're a country that's now talking about going back to the moon and then on to Mars. So somewhere along the line, with all that technology, you would think we could fix the voting system.
Certainly.
But I guess not.
if we really wanted to, we could. It's all politics. Neville, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so very much. I'll tell you what, let's just keep our fingers crossed. Maybe somehow, some way, we'll resolve this, but I don't see it coming in the near future.
Well, the next time I'm on, if you're good enough to invite me, I hope you'll figure out whether it's going to be Prince Harry, Prince Markle, or Harry Markle, or
whatever.
Take care, Paul. Thanks
okay, my friend. Thanks, Neville.
Look forward to doing it again.
All right, buddy.
You bet.
Neville Kramer. All right, we're going to take our break. Ran a little longer than normal with him, but that's okay. And when we come back, hey, the Master Barber himself is going to be with us. We're going to talk a little bit about, another executive order to increase voter access across the country, all kinds of things, with Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And by the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And if you can't listen live, Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, I must say, we've got two of the biggest governors in the country, and they're both underwater right now. First of all, of course, we've got Andrew Cuomo, and yesterday, one of the most powerful Democratic lawmakers in New York issued a statement. He's called for Cuomo to quit, to resign. Now, Cuomo, of course, is facing multiple allegations. I shouldn't laugh, but he's got all these women all of a sudden rushing to microphones to talk about what he's done. And then he's got that horrible situation with the nursing homes and the false data. Then we go to the other coast. And this Gavin Newsom, or as my sister calls him, Nuisance, Governor Nuisance of California, there's a petition there. They've collected 1.95 million signatures just days ahead of the final deadlines. They got way more than they need, but you got to do that because they'll throw out a lot of these petition signatures to recall the son of a gun. And have another vote. It looks like that may occur. So, hey, we are thunderstruck with both of the Sorese brothers. We've got Andrew the Master Barber and Angelo. So, Angelo, I'm counting the days up there in New York where you are till Andrew Cuomo finally says, you know what, I quit.
I don't think that's going to happen, huh?
No?
He's very arrogant. And, you know, they're going to have to impeach him. But, you know, how are they going? You got a Democratic Assembly in New York, a Democratic Senate, and you have a Democratic Attorney General. What are they going to do?
It sounds like they may impeach him, even with Democrats. It sounds like there are enough Democrats that want him out just because he's a liability, and they would vote for that. But the problem is, by the time they get the impeachment done, he'll be out of office anyway because he won't run for re-election, right?
Right.
So there you go.
He's got 2 years yet to go on his...
Then maybe they could impeach him.
Well, they can. You know, his
get him out.
Up in 2022.
Okay, well, this is 2021, so he's got 1 year.
Yeah, well, he's got this year and next year, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's one guy. Then we got Gavin Newsom on. And, you know, they're both like... they're Democratic governors, and they have found a way to take two wonderful states and ruin them one way or the other. So, Andrew the Master Barber, we're down here in Florida, you and I. We have a good governor. He seems to know what he's doing. Despite the press, he's, you know, we have an open state by and large. And, you know, people are kind of returning to normal here, don't you think?
Well, no question about it, Paul. I've never left abnormalcy since we reopened back in, when was it, September or something?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yeah. Your place has been as if nothing happened. You walk in there, let's be honest. It's always clean, and you've got great workers there. Everything seems to be okay.
No, we never had a problem, Paul. Matter of fact, the elderly people that even come in are always in good shape.
Yes.
But I have noticed, like, in the years before, you know, guys would come in, they'd have the sniffles or this and that. Now nobody comes in at all if they have anything, you know. But I think that's the difference. People took it upon themselves to be responsible. We didn't have to be babysat.
That's true. I must tell people that one of the frequent visitors to your wonderful establishment is the father of the governor. And he's a wonderful man.
Oh, yeah.
He is a wonderful man to talk with. And you wouldn't know he's so down to earth. You would never know he's like the father of maybe the most important person in the state of Florida.
Isn't that amazing, isn't it?
It really is. I shout out to him. It's Ron Sr., and he's a wonderful man.
That's right, yep. He's a hell of a man.
He really is. So, gentlemen, what are we going to do here? We got so many things going. We got the immigration problem. We got a new H.R. 1 bill, which I think is unconstitutional. Which is going to supposedly help voter access. Boy, when you hear that term, we're going to help you with voter access, you better dive under the table. Then we got a $1.9 trillion COVID relief package with 90% of it not even being spent on COVID this year. Andrew, I know how you feel, and I know that it's becoming even more and more frustrating, but... is it just going to take sweeping these people out of office and getting our heads screwed on straight again? What are we going to do?
Well, right now we're going to watch the other countries have a good time partying their rear ends up with all the money we're sending them.
Yeah, and what about down here in Florida? We have a lot of the young kids coming down, aren't we, for the beaches?
Oh, yeah.
So they
are. You blame them? They've been locked up.
I don't blame them at all. I bet you they're just coming down here to really relax and enjoy. The beaches, and I'm sure that all of the bars in the areas where the beaches are very excited to see them. I don't know. I mean, of course, you got all the people that are scared stiff about the virus, but who knows?
You know, I had somebody come in the shop this week that I used to laugh. He came in on Saturday, and he never liked Trump, but he was talking. I said, so tell me, what do you think Biden has done? Oh, Andrew, I'm so happy with the way he's handling this COVID thing. I said, what has he done? There's no answer. What has Biden done for COVID?
Right.
Nothing.
He stands
that's,
there.
That's all they're worried about. What about China? Mm-hmm. What about $1.9 trillion being thrown away that we don't even have? That don't even faze them at all.
It's when it comes to spending other people's money, Democrats and socialists have no issue. We're at $28 trillion in debt. We were screaming bloody murder just a couple of years ago when we hit $20 trillion. But now we're at $28 trillion in debt. I don't see how, but people just seem to blow it off. They don't care.
You know what's amazing, Paul? If you think about this, the Earth is 93 million miles away from the sun, right?
Yes.
What would 28 trillion miles away from the sun be? We would be a dark planet.
We wouldn't be around.
Think about it.
I know. It's very scary. Angelo.
Yes, sir.
Angelo, first of all, I know that you want to... Now, you got your COVID shots, correct?
Yes, I got both of them now.
Now, you did not have any reaction to it, correct?
None.
Excellent. Are most of the people in the Rochester area of New York, where you live, are most of those people getting access to the COVID shots?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
So they're saying, they're going into areas that they said that people don't have transportation or anything like that, but they're getting the vaccination. Some people, you have to go online or there's a number to call. So, but people are getting, they're getting their shots.
Are they going to the pharmacies to get them, or where do they go?
Going to the pharmacies, they're going into an old Kodak Hawkeye building, and they're giving shots over there. But
okay.
They're going to different institutions. Yeah,
so,
no problem.
So you're watching all of this spending going on here for the so-called relief of people, and we know that 90% of it is not going to be spent this year for the virus, and we know that there's pork in there. Do you have any thought about whether, well, we've also got to actually run it through the House again. They got to run it through the House again because the Senate voted 50-49 to pass it, but you still have to run it through the House. Is this thing, in your opinion, going to occur? And we are going to have a $1.9 trillion package approved?
Oh, yeah, because that's their goal.
Okay.
There's no reason. I mean, was it 90% going to other things, too much pork, and 9% going to COVID relief?
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Kind of sad and scary.
It is, very much so.
I'm going to be reading, Andrew, a story from The Federalist a little later in the show, and they say, put all your money on Ron DeSantis as the Republican presidential candidate in 2024. What do you think?
Well, Paul, I think it's a great possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very good possibility. If a kid has got what it takes, I'd rather see him as governor here for another term. Don't
yeah.
get me wrong, because we're doing so good. I'm afraid he would get in here.
That's what I'm worried about.
I might have to run myself.
And I wonder if he would rather not do it, and wait. And
I don't know. Ron, he likes challenges. And
he's ambitious.
Likes to take care of problems,
And he's ambitious?
No, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
He got that from his father.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I tell you what, it's gonna be very, very, very interesting to see what's going to go on. It's going to be 3 years from now, believe it or not. It's kind of running quickly. But then we got Donald Trump. He's still thinking about it. He still seems to be the what they call the kind of the titular head of the Republican Party. People are wanting to see what he's thinking. And then whatever happened to Mike Pence? Has Mike Pence disappeared from this whole thing? What do you think?
Mike Pence is over with. He's retired.
He's retired.
He's collecting Social Security.
So you don't think he's going to be a dog in the fight when it comes to...
No. I don't think he stands a chance in hell.
Really? Okay. And it's because...
No, not at all.
He didn't show up at the conservative CPAC conference in Orlando. He didn't show up. And obviously it was because he had a little bit of a fallout with President Trump, right?
Well, he had a fallout with President Trump, but that's beside the point. He doesn't have what it takes, Paul.
Okay. He's just
does not have what it takes.
What is it that he's lacking? Personality?
I don't think it's the personality. I think it's the drive.
Okay.
I think it's the drive.
He doesn't have the ambition.
And the fact is, you know, the fact is that if you look at Vice President Pence, what was his track record? What was he done? Really nothing. And now you got a guy like Ron DeSantis. This guy has got a resume that's going a mile long.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And they're giving him the publicity. They're giving it to him. You know, he's done such a good job. They're trying to make him look bad that the guy is going to go to the sky with it.
Right.
And, you know, and what is it? P.T. Barnum said even bad publicity is good.
Yes. It's better than no publicity. Right. Ed has a thought.
I just wonder if DeSantis can withstand the amount of problems that the other side is giving him. I mean, he's getting the Trump effect now in the media. They're on him about everything, and they want to turn this COVID thing. What happened this weekend was a clear example of it. Is that one of the vaccine sites was doing the DeSantis ordered shots of 55 and over for teachers or teachers and stuff like that. And evidently FEMA had showed up at this Miami site, took over and said, okay, we're going to vaccinate everybody 18 and over. And then it got out on social media and you had a line four blocks long and they didn't have enough shots. And it looked like it fell into DeSantis' lap that there was confusion. And what the hell was FEMA stepping in for? Shouldn't FEMA be in Houston worrying about the people with no water?
They should be, yes.
Now here we go again. It's stepping in and it's bungling something that could be handled better by the local and state and the governors. You know, that's what it is.
DeSantis has been praised for doing what he's doing.
And yes, leave him alone.
FEMA's got to step in and you wonder... Did somebody send FEMA there specifically to do that?
Of course they did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
But you got to realize one thing about Ron. He's got a Democrat-proof vest on, believe me. This kid will fight them off like you've never seen. He loves that challenge.
And it's going to take somebody like that to have a bulletproof vest because, boy, they are going to come at him.
So the media has ruined this country. The media has ruined the country to no end.
I think there's
no argument there.
You're not hearing any argument for anybody.
You had a moment of silence.
There's no question about it. None. Gentlemen, it is always a pleasure. We got to run, but thank you, Angelo. Always delighted to hear from you every week. And, of course, Master Barber, we'll be talking with you again tomorrow.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Be good. Thanks,
guys.
All right. Thank you, sir. There they go, the Ceresi brothers. All right, we are going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 car driver best-selling cars in 2020.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, we are back for the final segment here. And as promised, wanted to talk a little bit about Ron DeSantis and his chances, I guess you might call it, of becoming the Republican presidential nominee in 2024. According to The Hill, you can bet on it. Now, excuse me. They say that in Florida, millions of residents are convinced that DeSantis not only dealt with the virus in the most pragmatic way possible, but he saved the livelihoods of many, many people in the process. He went on the Mark Levin show, which, by the way, comes on at night once a week on the Fox News channel. And he said, what we did... This is DeSantis. He said, what we did was three things. One, we protected those most vulnerable to the virus. Then we wanted to make sure that our hospital system had what they needed in terms of all of the medication, testing, and supplies. And we were able to do that. And then third, we wanted society to function. So he had a game plan. He had a game plan. And we are like we're the third largest state now in the country. So we have a lot, he had a lot of people to deal with, all kinds of elderly and all kinds of others here.
And as I told you, his interview with Mark Levin, if he'd have gone by the mandate from the president, we'd have vaccinated prisoners first. Prisoners.
Yeah.
Before the elderly.
DeSantis knew what he wanted to do. He had a game plan, and he followed through with it. That's why people are looking at him. And I think there's a very good chance, although I'm wondering if he would want to wait, maybe get another term under his belt here in Florida. But we will see. All right, before we get to our top 10, we got a lot of sports going on right now, Ed. I was watching the Lightning yesterday. They were down 3-0 to the Blackhawks.
Your Blackhawks.
My Blackhawks. And I thought, wow! My Blackhawks are looking great. I wonder what the final score will be. So, of course, the Lightning proceeded to score 6 straight goals.
You know, I saw it when it was 3-0, and I flipped through the channel. I said, well, Paul's going to be in a good mood tomorrow. And I went back to him, and it was 6-3 final. And I said, uh-oh, they're going to be in a good mood.
Well, I knew that they would. You know, that's the thing about the Lightning. They can strike like a cobra. They can strike. Just when you think you got them, yeah. All of a sudden they turn it on. And in the third period, it was like, it might as well have been four, it was like the Lightning had one more player on the ice. They were just keeping it in the Chicago zone. So you got to hand it to them.
Yeah.
They're doing a wonderful job. Yeah.
They're good.
You think they'll be the Stanley Cup champs again?
It's so hard to say. I mean, it's a lot of time left, but if they stay healthy, yes.
Yeah. And they got Kucherov, who's not playing, but maybe back, right?
For the playoffs, yes.
For the playoffs. Yeah. Boy, can you imagine how good they will be with him? Okay. It is time for our top 10, Ed. I want to see if you'll know the number one best-selling car in 2020. This is Car and Driver Magazine. You ready?
Mm.
Here we go. Number 10. The Toyota Tacoma. They sold 239,000 units in 2020. It's the smaller of Toyota's two pickups, by the way, right, in case you didn't know that. All right, number 9, the GMC Sierra. They sold 253,000 units in 2020, which they said is a relatively strong year for it. All right, number eight, the Honda Civic. Now, the Honda Civic has been on the list forever, as far as I can remember. 261,000 plus units sold for the Honda Civic. But you know what? It says here it was down 20% through 2020, but less of a decrease than its competitor, the Toyota Corolla. All right, number seven. The Chevy Equinox. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 271,000 units were sold. And they were down 22%, but they still managed to be number seven. Number six, the aforementioned Toyota Camry at 294,000 plus units. Best selling, it retained its best selling passenger car title this year. Number five, the Honda CR-V, and 334,000 units sold, but it experienced a 13% drop. I guess the COVID must have had something to do with a lot of this.
Don't sure, you? Yeah. I'm sure it did.
Okay. Number four, the Toyota RAV4. I wouldn't even know what to look for. Do you know what that is?
Is that the RAV?
Yeah, the RAV4. Somehow managed to pull off an increase through the first 3 months of the year, but ended up with a slight decrease, 4%, 430,000 plus units. Okay, number three. Well, I've seen enough of these commercials in my sleep. The Ram pickup, 564,000 units sold. Mm. Wow. Pickup trucks were among the few models to increase in sales in the first quarter, but later quarters were not as strong. So there you go. All right. Number two, the Chevy Silverado. Chevy Silverado. Mm-hmm. You know that one. 587,000 units were sold in 2020. Chevy somehow managed to move more Silverados in 2020 than it did in 2019. By the end of the year, the light-duty model was down just 0.5%, while the heavy-duty trucks increased by 14%. All right, Ed. We're now at number one.
I'll go with Ford.
Ford what?
Let's go with an F-150 or something.
Okay. Why don't you roll the dough? You are correct.
Really?
Okay. Yes, sir. The Ford F-Series, 787,000 plus units sold. Ford's perennially best-selling pickup did not increase its sales in 2020, but they managed to hang on to the top spot despite a 12% decrease. You know, it's interesting. So there are more trucks sold than there are cars.
Yeah.
I thought that we would go back to having more cars sold, but for some reason, people like the big...
You know, we're going to transition to electric cars, I guess, eventually. So
yeah.
See who gets it. You know, this guy Norbert's got a show on here, Improve Your Life at 6 o'clock tonight.
Yes.
He's a bit of a conspiracy guy. He says the reason we government wants electric cars is so they can control how far you can drive.
Really?
Well, because you figure on a charge, you can only drive so far, and you have to charge
now
it up again.
Now I got one more thing to worry about. All right. Listen, thank you so much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Always remember, freedom works.
And thanks for listening, Prince Harry.
Thanks, Prince.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. Buckingham Palace is silent after the bombshell revelations from Harry and Meghan in their CBS interview. Meghan says she considered suicide and says they were questioned about their unborn baby Archie's skin color. Harry told Oprah Winfrey their decision to give up royal duties left them on their own.
So has anybody said,
I'm sorry you had to make that move, or I'm sorry you felt that you had to do that because you felt we were not supporting you.
No, sadly not. The feeling is that this was our decision, therefore the consequences are on us.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Probably the most damaging allegations for the royal